Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper here, and welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. Today, I have with me Jennifer Demiri. Jennifer is the owner of Create Again, Mindset and Life Coaching, which was founded in 2020. So Jennifer's new in this business, but I know she's got a ton of experience that she's going to share with us. So after going through her own personal journey of growth and development post the separation from her husband in 2018, Jennifer's firsthand experiences and challenges gave her the realization that she wanted to support and help men and women who had endured breakup and separation or divorce. So Create Again assists individuals by introducing the self-love concept and helps them build meaningful, fulfilling, and soulful relationships within themselves and their external relationships. Jennifer is an accomplished success coach with extensive experience in breakup coaching. She acquired her knowledge through the relationships that she experienced throughout the years and growing through separation and divorce. The breakdown of a marriage was one of the hardest times she experienced in life, and she lost her identity and direction. She's been very fortunate to have people around her that supported her and empowered her to become the best version of herself. Jennifer extensively worked and strengthened the relationship with herself by discovering what she brought to the connection she made, and through that was enabled to create inspiring and empowering relationships with people in her life and the ones that she meets day to day whilst honouring her commitment to self-growth. Now she wants to give back and help people rise to create themselves again. During her coaching journey, she works with people through important questions such as, what relationship do you have with yourself, and what is your view of self-love and self-worth? Welcome, Jennifer. I'm so glad that you could be here with us today.
Thank you, Janine, for having me and giving me the opportunity to share a little bit about myself and what I do.
It's such an important subject, and it's not just the relationships that we have with other people are vital to us as human beings. That's how we experience the world. But that relationship with ourself is the one that's most critical, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'm a big believer in you need to love yourself first before you can really truly love others, and also have that sort of connection within yourself, understanding yourself, how you react to situations, how you interact with people, and yes, that whole self-love, self-worth concept, which we don't really get taught anywhere, and that is just really, in my opinion, the key to, yeah, having relationships with others in a really meaningful way.
That aspect of self-love, as you mentioned, isn't taught anywhere, and I really hadn't thought about it till you just said that, because it's not, I mean, we can build up our children's self-esteem as parents and as grandparents particularly. I know I try to really do that, because I'm not in the parenting mode, I'm in the gifting mode, which is a little bit different, but it's still that self-belief that what you're being told is accurate, isn't it? I said to my 4-year-old granddaughter yesterday, because she got in the pool and it was freezing, and I said to her, that was very brave, and she and her 7-year-old brother said, that was a really nice thing to say. And I just went, isn't that cute that he recognized that was a nice compliment? It was not just a throwaway compliment, it was something to build her up. But we don't do enough of those, do we?
Not really. I mean, I guess the generations are changing at the moment. We are a little bit more conscious now than what maybe our parents or the generation before that were, in really trying to lift our children up, our community up, the people in our lives up. But when I was raised, and so many people really, and so many parents, they do obviously the best that they can. They give to their children what they can. They try to teach them everything and really have the best interest at heart. But sometimes they do things that, you know, yeah, ingrain something deep in our children that at one point might doubt themselves and not really being able to develop the self-love the way that we would like them to. But we don't know that we do this. So it is often very much the not knowing or not realizing that a little thing we say gets ingrained so deeply that at one point it really suffers through and, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, because it just as manifest as those feelings of inadequacy as adults. Definitely. So I know I touched on a little bit about with your bio and your separation, but tell me, you know, no, I mean, there's so many people been through separations and divorces and that. So tell me why you do what you do.
Yes, for me, I mean, I wouldn't change anything in the past with my marriage and so on, because I wouldn't be where I'm right now without all of those experiences. But I was very lucky to have people around me that supported me, that told me it is not me, it's not him, it's not me. You know, really realizing that my worth does not diminish due to the separation. No one judges me for being a divorced or separated woman. And really just to focus on building myself back up. And I know that some of those people have been through separation and divorce as well that helped me through. And they said to me at some point, without probably realizing that they did, that they wish they had someone telling them it's not just you, it's both of you, or like it's, you know, it's not entirely your fault and you're still worthy, you're still an amazing human being, you're absolutely the person, you know, you can do what you want to be, you can do so much more in your life and things will look up again, you will get through this, you will find love again, all those sort of things. And really this encouraging component I was very lucky to have, and they said they really didn't have that. And that got me thinking, what about helping people that were in my situation really understand that and really building the basics back up as well from the self-love component, understanding that they are worthy, and you know, talking about what we can do moving forward to get them where they want to be and really living their happiest, healthiest life. And I have to say, of course, I'm not, you know, a psychologist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not diagnosing. I'm not, you know, saying this is what will help you with potential past traumas, because I'm not and I can't do that. But the best I can do is asking questions about how they feel in certain situations and what they feel they could have done better or differently, and where they believe certain things came from, that they did act in a particular way or they believe their partner acted in a particular way, what brought that up. And that's the best I can do to direct them this way and ask the right questions and help them through it.
Yes, and that's, I mean, that sense of failure that you mentioned, and particularly with my generation, you know, that was just, not that divorce wasn't unheard of, it was just not common. And because our parents in the previous generation are saying, stick it out, you know, just deal with it, because that's exactly what they did. And we don't necessarily, you know, for a whole lot of reasons, want to separate and divorce, whether it's emotional, financial, what it is. But it's that, and I think that's the point of that self-love. If you love yourself enough, then you are going to make the right decision, whatever it is, that will honor that respect for yourself then, isn't it?
Yes, that's absolutely right. And my parents, for example, they have been married for 44, 45 years. And I've always seen them stick it out, work through things. And I really wanted that for myself. So I really wanted to work through it. And I was also raised in a little bit of a generation still where it was, oh, what do other people think about you or us as parents as well when you get divorced? So really that sort of reflection and comparing to others and really caring too much what other people think. And to be honest with you, most people don't even care. Yeah. What, you know, they don't care if you're divorced or not, because that does not define you. Mm. And in relationships, if they just don't work, or, you know, you have your value system, your partner has their value system, and if they don't match anymore at one point and boundaries are crossed and you can work on it and try to communicate as much as possible, but if you just can't get to a resolution, you're obviously happier going separate ways. And now I know that for myself. For now, of course, I would not recommend just get divorced if you can't figure it out. Yeah. Please don't think that. But you work on it, you work hard, but sometimes it just does not happen. And then again, it's loving yourself enough to understand, okay, this is not going anywhere. So I will actually be a lot more unhappy remaining in this relationship, rather than we both go our separate ways as much as possible in a very, you know, loving way, separating and moving on with our lives in separate ways and both being happier for it.
Mm. And that, sorry, when you're talking, I'm thinking of things, and at that time I didn't write it down, and because I'm going, oh, I know what I'm going to ask next. And it's, and you talked about, you know, having a loving relationship going out of a relationship as well. And I think that's a really positive comment, to be able to love that sense that it's the right decision and it's not something necessarily held with blame or regret, or, you know, there's always that regret that things didn't work out, but a blaming sort of mindset as well, and that you can just move on. And I think that would be a very powerful space to be in, especially if it's amicable as well.
Absolutely. And I know that my separation did not work the way I would have potentially wished, mm-hmm. as much as it possibly can during a separation to go. But really being as amicable as possible and have the conversation, saying, look, you know, yes, I still love you and you still love me. However, the way we're going at the moment is not beneficial to either of our growth. So we would probably be better off going separate ways, being able to work on ourselves and being able to discover who we really are, what we really want out of life, and then take it from there. Sometimes you might even come back to each other and realize, okay, based on the new values that we've built, or based on the new identity or refreshed identity that we've built, we can come back together. But sometimes, and what I've seen as well, is that so many people actually get along so much better not being together anymore.
I do know some of those actually, they can even live in the same house now, but as long as they're not together, which is really an interesting way to go about things. I remember what I was going to ask or mention. You went through and you did a certified coaching course. How did that change your growth and beliefs and things that would be of value to the listeners, having done the coaching course and seeing things from a different space?
Yeah, I think it helped me to ask a little bit more of the right questions to what I did before, and even asking myself a few additional questions that I hadn't discovered. And I'm still on a path of discovery and learning, and I'm a big believer in learning. I learn something new every single day. And yes, asking just different questions. And I think asking myself those questions, that's the important component. Don't just ask your clients. Ask yourself those questions and understand yourself. And as you were mentioning, I have been working on myself since the separation. I've done leaps and leaps. I've discovered trauma from my childhood. I discovered why I was doing things the way I was doing in my relationship. I learned new things like love languages and masculine and feminine energies, which I had no idea about during the relationship. And I can tell you, if I would have known about those, things probably would have panned out a little different. But I just didn't. You don't know what you don't know. And just getting those additional tools, getting that additional understanding of where to potentially even dig deeper with questions. And when I ask myself questions and come to an answer from there, I often get a few more other questions that I hadn't even thought about previously. So I think doing a coaching course like that gives you, in so many areas of your life, so many more questions, and really understanding where your belief system comes from in relationships, with money, with health and well-being. Where does that all come from? And really digging deep of why you're doing things you do.
And that's it, isn't it? Why you're doing things that you do. And I'm glad you mentioned the love languages, because I think this is the perfect opportunity to discuss them. It's one of my favorite, one of the things I just love to do. And I've mentioned it on some podcasts in the past as well. And it's something that I gift if people get engaged. I gift them with the book, the Five Love Languages. Yeah, because I think it's so important that we understand those love languages. So are you happy if we go into those a little bit? I think that's really important to be able to share those. So do you want to go through each one, and then we can and explain what each one love language is?
Yeah, sure. And I actually just had a series on my Instagram and Facebook about the different love languages. So I just
completed
that.
Yep.
And I also have a link to the love language test on there as well. But so the five love languages are quality time, physical touch, words of affirmation, receiving gifts, and acts of service. Mm. So the physical touch, that is a love language where people really, really, yeah, they do enjoy the hugs, the cuddles, the occasional pat on the back, just really, yeah, the connection, because through physical touch, you have a connection with your partner. And that is something that a lot of people really, really enjoy. So even if... Yes.
I was going to say, I know my husband and I, we don't hold hands, or we do, and then we don't. And it's because physical touch is neither one of our things. Yeah. We don't need to be holding hands, walking or anything. It's, and we see people that are out for a physical walk holding hands going, oh, that's just odd for us, but it obviously works for them.
Yes, absolutely. And yes, those are people that really enjoy that. And I have friends of mine as well where his love language is physical touch and hers is absolutely not. And she really does not enjoy the thought of hugs and cuddles and holding hands out in public, but he just really thrives on that. So they do make a commitment to, you know, still doing that so she can show him that she cares by... Mm. Really incorporating his love language, although it is not hers, but going out of her way, really putting the effort in to make sure that he understands, I do care about you, I do love you, and I do something for you that I would normally not do, but this is how much I care for you.
And that really does show that commitment when it is something you're just not, it's not relevant to you as a language of love.
Correct.
Or even don't like it. That's even further. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. So we've got physical touch.
Yes. Then we have quality time. So quality time is really about spending time together as much as possible. And that does not mean, you know, sitting next to each other on the couch and both playing with your phone, because that is actually not spending time together. That's, yes, you are at the same space at the same time doing your separate things. Quality time is really about experiencing something, going out for walks, making plans to go to the movies is something. Yes, you can watch TV together, but you both actively really need to watch it together rather than someone is doing something different while you're watching something. But yeah, experiences, going to the beach together, having little date nights, things like that. That is the quality time, and talking talking during that time, really wanting to understand your partner, what they do, what their life vision is, really going to the deep. But it sometimes can also be just, you know, how was your day? And really talking about those things, but being interested in your partner and spending that time together.
I know with my husband, that's just our secondary. So it's not our primary love language, but it is our secondary. But we both experience it differently, though. He is quite happy just to be in the house together. That's enough for him. But it's, yeah, so that's interesting too. So you can have this same love language, but then demonstrate it differently, can't you?
So it's always a bit of a different degree as well. I have a primary and a secondary love language. So for me, it's really like a teeny tiny percentage of each other, and it could just swing one or the other way at one point. But for me, it is quality time as the first and physical touch as a secondary love language.
Yeah.
And I, for example, also normally the one that you like to give is also the one that you like to receive. I'm actually a person that likes to receive physical touch and quality time, but I am a person that likes to give gifts or provide acts of service.
Yep, okay.
I show people that I love them, which is quite interesting. So you don't have it very often that the one that you like to receive is different to the one that you like to give.
No, I've never heard that before. I've always thought it was the same. Okay, yeah. That's interesting.
And mostly it is. So it is really rare that you have the same, have a different one for the one that you like to give. So while we're on the acts of service, that's the one that I like to give. So it's about doing something for someone. So, you know, this typical nagging, like, you still haven't painted the wall, or you still haven't attached the shelf to, you know, to the wall, or haven't put it together, or whatever it may be. That's what some people would consider nagging. But really, really all it's asking is, you're doing something for me. And that's how you show that you love.
Yeah.
So that's probably the best typical example in regards to the nagging.
that is really interesting. My husband's is acts of service. He gives acts of service, and if you do something, what do? I ran a training course the other day, and I bought a dozen of the donuts for the people in the course, and there was a couple left over. So I bought them home for him, and he's gone, "Oh, wow, that was just so thoughtful. I really appreciate it when you do things like that for me." And I'm thinking, it's just a donut, you know, it's not a big deal, but it was to him. And then he does acts of service as well, with an expectation, "Well, I've done that for you." So, and I'm going, "Yeah, big deal." It's really interesting. I know it now, but it is really interesting that when you understand it, you know, a donut can make a big difference.
It absolutely can. Or, you know, washing the dishes after dinner, something like that. So it doesn't have to be big. It can really just be the small little things. Or, you know, you're coming home from a day of work and your partner has put dinner on the table. That's an act of service, because you don't have to do that chore to an extent. So yes, this is the act of service component. And I'm someone that really loves providing acts of service, while yes, I enjoy getting it as well, but it's not as important to me.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I'm with you on that. It's okay. Fine. That's all right.
Yeah, then we're giving gifts.
Yep.
Or receiving gifts. And that is pretty much self-explanatory. So it's pretty much the person that says, you know, "Oh, you still haven't gotten me any flowers just because," or, yeah, just really likes the small little treats, small little gifts to receive on a regular basis, because that's how they perceive love. Like, you give something to someone and you receive something back as well, as a token, as a physical token.
I've got a friend of mine, and hers is definitely giving gifts, and she just Yes, she just goes over the moon for receiving things, but she spends so much time choosing gifts for people as well, and she puts a lot of effort in getting the right gift for the right person.
Absolutely, and that is something that's really important to those people as well, really doing the research and making sure it is meaningful to that person. You know, I have a friend as well, so she is really digging really, really deep and trying to find the best present possible, like really listening to what the other person is saying, and then based on that, putting together a list of gifts throughout the year that she then can, you know, pick and choose from throughout the year to give to her friends or her family.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I can relate to the next one.
Words of affirmation.
Yeah.
Yes. So that is really important to affirm. I love you. I care about you. And of course, I love you can be said in very different ways. Like, you know, get home safely. Make sure you wear your seatbelt. Those sort of little things. Have you had your lunch? It is, yes. Those little things, but also like really little notes saying, I care about you, or have a lovely day, I miss you, those little things. But yeah, talking and really telling someone with words, complimenting them, encouraging them to do something. Everything that words can really do for you. Words have power, as they say. So really with a word, you can change someone's entire world. The other day I actually was in a cafe and I saw this girl in a really, really beautiful dress and she looked absolutely stunning. So I went over to her to tell her how beautiful she looks in that dress and how beautiful the dress is. And that just made her day. Mm. Her love language might not be words of affirmation, but that is a small sort of example on what you can do to just brighten someone's day and really, yeah, affirm them on they're worthy to be there. Mm.
I tend to do that often, but it works perfectly with what I do as a trainer and coach. It's amazing how when you gift somebody some words of affirmation, how it changes their belief in themselves. And for me, you know, teaching people to be confident in speakers and to be great in promoting their business with words particularly, it's I'm always amazed. Just sometimes just the smallest thing that you say to somebody makes all the difference in the world to how they perceive themselves. So it's definitely, I've got used to not necessarily receiving a lot of words of affirmation because I come across as a confident person that people don't really think that needs it. But I do get it from my clients more so, but I give it to my clients as well. Not just to raise them up. I just really like to acknowledge when something that they've done is out of their comfort zone or something that is extraordinary as well.
And I absolutely have to agree with that. And I mean, who doesn't really like to hear that they have done something amazing or that they look great in that dress? And yes, I'm not going to lie. I do enjoy a little bit of word of affirmation here and there. It's not one of my primary or secondary ones, but yes, it absolutely lifts you up and changes your day and changes the way you walk throughout the rest of the day.
No, definitely. Yeah, the love languages are so important. And I think that sense of, and from, you know, going back to what we were talking about, is that loving self as well. If you're receiving the languages that you can relate to and that you know that you're loved if you receive it, then that can build that self-confidence and that self-love and self-belief up.
Absolutely. Well,
So women particularly, you know, you're mostly working with women as well, and as do I, that support for women in situations that they're going through tough, you touched on it a little bit before, that is something I think that you'd probably see a lot of in what you're doing.
Yes, I do. And I think overall, and we're getting so much better at it, but we as women, we need to lift each other up. We need to support each other in every sort of situation. Even if, you know, I go for the same job as my friend, we need to encourage each other. And if I don't get the job and my friend gets the job, well, that's nothing to compete with. That's something to be proud of her for getting it. Mm. And always having in the back of your mind that there was a reason I didn't get it. Maybe there's something different waiting out there for me. It wasn't meant to be. And I think overall, just support and backing each other, we will come out on top so much stronger together as a community when we support each other.
Yes, totally agree. And I run a women's networking mastermind group, and what comes out of those meetings is just always inspiring, that the amount of, just sometimes just putting your ideas out or concerns and thoughts out to other people gives you the opportunity to actually be supported. I think that's another thing that we don't do often enough with women, is we don't ask for that help and acknowledge that we can't do it all and that there's other people, and we don't give people permission to help us as well.
I think that still stems from a bit of that mindset of, well, if I show vulnerability, they will be all over me instead of trying to lift me up. I am also in a mentoring group that we have catch-ups every fortnight, and the women in this group are absolutely amazing. So it's via Zoom. We meet up every fortnight because we are from all over Australia and New Zealand. And the support is just amazing. And you sometimes say, oh, I have an issue with this. I don't know what to do. And then you have two or three other women that say exactly the same and are so relieved to an extent that someone else was brave enough to go first and say what they were thinking and they were feeling, and then the support that comes out of the rest of the group and suggestions that how to work through that. It's just absolutely amazing, and we can achieve so many great things if we all work together and help each other out.
And I think that's, one of the, I'm going to ask you in a moment for three takeaway points that's really important, that from everything that we've talked about that people can take away and apply in their lives or their relationships. But I think that's probably my takeaway point that I'm going to say, is get in a group, find a mentoring group, find a support group, find a mastermind group, something that's going to give you that support and feedback and interaction. It is absolutely vital. We're not meant to try and do things on our own. We're meant to be part of a community. I mean, go back thousands of years and the women would be all together while they're gathering the food, or the women would be together while they're preparing the food for the tribe or preparing any of the craft that they'd be doing. They'd be all sitting around in a group and speaking, and that is so vital that in this era that we do exactly the same thing as well.
Absolutely.
So three takeaway points, Jennifer.
Yes, one is absolutely surround yourself with like-minded people, positive energies, be with people that lift you, that raise you. They say you are the average of the five people that you surround yourself with. Yes, do it.
yeah, absolutely. And we need to be reminded of that occasionally as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So another takeaway point that you'd like to share?
Another takeaway point is, for me, definitely what is meant for you will come to you. I wouldn't be where I am right now, as I said earlier, without the separation and divorce, but I also wouldn't change anything. I would still, knowing what I know now, I would definitely get married to him again, and he's an amazing guy, so it just didn't work out between us. I would do exactly the same thing, because I wouldn't be a breakup life and mindset coach without him, really. And the experiences that shape us. So we do need to go through certain experiences in order to go to where we need to go to grow, to develop. And just what's meant for us is meant for us. I moved to Brisbane 2 years ago from Melbourne, and if I wouldn't have done that, again, I probably wouldn't be in the coaching space right now and wouldn't have started my own coaching business and wouldn't have met the amazing people that are supporting me through this. So because there are so many people that said, just do it, get it, you know, get it done.
And just on the reality level, I mean, the difference between Victoria and Queensland over the last few months has been significant. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. The freedoms that you'd have here to achieve what you want to achieve has been big. Mm.
Yes. Mm. So that's another
one. And third point?
The third point for me in life is trust your gut. Mm. Trust your gut. Because that is generally the thing that really is truthful to you and gets you where you want to be.
Mm. I was talking to someone the other day and they're now figuring, well, I think most of us have known that to listen to our gut, but that gut instinct, you know, that we're aware of it and not necessarily pay attention to it every time, but we are aware of it. And they're now calling it a brain. It's there's another brain of the body is the gut. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a gut brain connection that they're talking about. And if your actual brain is not necessarily giving you what you want, often you can rely very much on your gut. If something doesn't feel right, it definitely tells you what to do and guide you into the right direction.
Yes. And a lot of the hormones that they thought came from the brain producing, they actually comes from the gut producing. And again, how that feels and paying attention to it, which is really cool.
That's why I also believe good nutrition, healthy nutrition is important, because that sort of feeds your gut in a very positive way, which will then feed your brain in a positive way. So your mindset is very different on a very healthy diet compared to a not so healthy diet, at least for me.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And if people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that? And have you got anything that you want to particularly put as a call to action on that, Jennifer?
Yeah, sure. So I am on social media, Facebook and Instagram. So currently working through finalizing my website, but there are contact buttons on both. You can follow me, share whatever you like to do. And if you feel that I would be the right person to work with, please reach out. And I do have a bit of a festive season competition coming up soon where you can win 5 coaching sessions with me as well. But I love to help other people, and not only in the breakup space, but also in general life coaching as well. So be it health, wealth, business, absolutely happy to support on those areas as well.
Excellent. So is the Facebook and the Instagram group Jennifer Demiri, or is it under Create Again?
It is under Create Again. So just look for Create Again. You will find the logo, which is a rising phoenix, representing myself from rising through separation and divorce. And you will see that on Instagram and Facebook, both under Create Again.
I meant to say, I love that title, the brand name. I think that suits it so well. Yes, and the logo, it's wonderful.
I read in a book a passage that says, if you don't love what you created, create again. And that stuck with me for a very long time. And when I thought about the business name and the logo, it just worked so well together for me. It just was a match made in heaven.
Yeah, absolutely. No, well done. Anything you want to add before we wrap up?
No, that is it. Thank you for having me. Let me talk a little bit about what I do and the love languages. And I'm looking forward to many more of those conversations.
Yeah, excellent. Thank you very much, Jennifer. I really appreciate it. And that is another episode of the We Are Women podcast. I thank Jennifer Demiri for being with me today. And remember, if you love what you've heard, to please leave a 5-star review. And I look forward to, also, if you wanting to book in a 30-minute free consultation with myself, then go to JeneineVosper.com, and there's a link there that you can do that. Anything that you've got a query about, any business decision or anything that's happening within your sales or speaking particularly that you want some information and advice on, it's all complimentary. So please go and check it out, JeneineVosper.com. I look forward to you joining us on the next episode of the We Are Women podcast. Bye for now.
So
Do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.